Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Welcome to One Guy with a Mic, Dingers and Dunks, baby. Woohoo! We are on the AL West today. Well, actually, there's going to be two episodes out today. So I guess, yeah. So we're on the AL West for the first episode today. The NL West, our last division, will be recorded and put out right after this. So I appreciate everybody tuning in to all the MLB preview shows this week. We are going to do a playoff preview show once the season starts. I'm getting that lined up to do with some folks here next week. So that'll be out next week. And then we're going to do the NBA, just a little rundown of the schedule for the next few weeks. We got the NBA playoffs coming up, so we'll do a preview of that. And that's it, boys. Like, it's summertime. It's time to go golf. It's time to go have fun. We'll touch base in the summer, obviously, and so hope you guys enjoyed the last three shows of the season, and it'll be fun. Today, like I said, we're talking about the AL West, but before we get into that, as always, this episode is brought to you by ShankItGolf.com, where you can get all your golf needs, your polos, your bags, your putters, all for a low price when you use the code ONEGUY. When you check out, that's right, one guy, ONEGUY. So, I got my friend. So before we get into today's guest, he's a longtime caller. Well, he's a longtime listener, first time caller today. He's been called my twin. We're brothers from another mother, just like me and the Dro Bros. We all look alike. Except he's from the West Coast. They're from the East Coast. My man, Andrew Dittman. What up, buddy? How are you doing today?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Oh, man. I am so glad to have you on here today. I'm doing fantastic this fine day. Anything going on with you today? Any plans for the guy today?
Oh, not a whole lot. Probably just, grinding more MLB The Show, trying to do good.
That's what we do around here, boys and girls. We grind MLB The Show. So that's where you can find us. You can find Mr. Andrew. He's Andy Random Hero on Twitch and on Twitter, also on TikTok. So make sure you go give our love to our boy here. All right.
I appreciate that.
Hell yeah, man. Anytime. We try to spread the love here at One Guy with Mike. We're all about one love here at One Guy.
I like it.
So we're going to start off the bottom of the barrel. I don't think this is going to be any discrepancy between the two of us. Who are they? Well, they're the only AAA team playing in Major League Baseball right now. The Oakland Athletics, soon to be the Vegas something, because I doubt they're going to call them the A's. It'd be a little weird. So, Mr. Andy, here's what I got for a pitching staff. They got J.P. Sears at their ace, Paul Blackburn, who throws smoke, Alex Wood, Ross Stripling, former reliever / starter, Luis Medina as their starting five. And then they got a closer by the name of Lucas Ersig. I'm pretty sure I got that right. I mean, I know their pitchers. I know four of their five starting pitchers.
I didn't know Alex Wood was there until I actually fired up MLB The Show 24, and I was like, whoa, Alex Wood's on the A's now? I missed that one.
That's a shocker. Well, apparently when no one else wants to sign you, that's where you go.
You go to the Athletics. They will give you a nice little, at least 12 starts before they move them to the bullpen or trade them, right?
Right, exactly. So, your opinion on their starting pitchers?
I mean, Blackburn's always seemed really good to me. And I know that Sears had won me some money on a sports betting site one time, but man, I don't know. Alex Wood, I usually only see him coming out of the pen. And Stripling, I mean, he could be good. I don't know. It's just, I always feel bad for the Oakland A's fans at the end of the day, the last couple of years, you know? Like, we're a long way removed from those Cinderella playoff runs every year.
Yeah. Yeah. You got, and Billy Beane's still there. So it's just like, bro, like, how, it's like, how is he okay with putting this kind of product out when he's worked so hard to make a name for himself?
Exactly. I mean, what, I mean, if you watch Moneyball, you'll be like, oh, wow, he actually like did something quite magical with that team that year.
Right. Yeah.
And now,
it all boiled down to Scott Hattieburg.
Yeah. Good old Scott. The man is a legend.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel it's like in that division, it's definitely not the strongest rotation. But
right.
I mean, I don't know. I could see a couple of guys having surprising years. Maybe they figure some stuff out. But I also feel if they do, anyone there like Wood or Stripling has a good year, that they get moved at the deadline. I mean, that seems to kind of be the move, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised they haven't. Paul Blackburn hasn't been moved yet.
I am too, actually. I don't know, maybe with the move and all that coming up, maybe we see him get moved this trade deadline for something, you know?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about the A's moving to Vegas. Like, after this year, they don't have a home.
Yeah, right.
For like the next 4 years. So, which high school team are you going to see if you can borrow their field for?
We're like, here at the Las Vegas High School to watch your... Las Vegas, do they have a new team name, or is it still going to be the Athletics at this point?
Right. Like, I mean, I always harken back to, like, when Ballmer took over the Clippers, he thought about moving back to Seattle, but then once he figured out how the Clippers were in, it was part of the LA community, actually, even though they sucked at basketball. I mean, at that time when he bought them, they were won multiple 50-game seasons, and we felt, as a Clippers fan, we felt like we were overdone. But, like, one of the things that he looked into was changing the name. And so I feel like with this move to Vegas, they're probably going to end up changing the name, which is going to kind of suck. I mean, because the Athletics have been around since Philly, like, way back when.
That's true. That's true. Like, yeah.
So, like, oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, so it's like, so you went from Philly A's with Connie Mack, you went to Kansas City, Oakland. Like, now you're going to move to Vegas and change the name, which I could see the owner doing because he's a real winner in our book here. One guy, that's for sure. He's on the scale of the Ricketts family.
I was going to say, there's some owners of teams in the AL West especially that are not well-liked, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know what you would call the Athletics if they changed their name.
I don't know either, but I bet you they end up changing the name. I mean, the guy just seems that way.
Get a fresh start. Like, hey, if we change the name, everyone will forget. Like, or not, you know.
Yeah. No, we haven't been good since 1901. So then you look at their lineup. They got Shailen Langeliers, Tyler Soderstrom behind the plate. You got Ryan Noda over at first. You got Zach Gelof at second. Abraham Toro at third. Your shortstop's Nick Allen. You got Aldames Diaz. You got left field, you got JJ Bidet and Tony Kemp. What?
Tony Kemp. Isn't that Tony Kemp like my age?
Yes.
Oh, so between the Oakland A's and the Cardinals, I probably could have had a shot at getting signed to a major league contract this year is what I'm hearing.
Yes, you could have.
I think Gelof, or however you say it, I think he's going to be good. I mean, just from everything I've seen.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be solid. I don't think you can expect much out of Tony Kemp, though, yeah?
Like, I don't think so either. Like, oh man. And then they have Esteury Ruiz, who stole 65 bases last year, but he only scored 47 runs.
Oh, huh. Like the math on that seems doing taxes.
Right? Like, the dude was in legit scoring position 65 times, and he only came in to score 47.
Man, you know, if they figured out a way for, like, him to get on and then steal and get in scoring position and then someone behind him to, like, get a hit, I mean, the Oakland A's could be pushing for, like, a wild card this year.
Yeah. I said that. I had gave that stat at work on Sunday, and my buddy Brett Flowers, who's got an MLB or has a baseballreference.com page, by the way, he said to me, he goes, at that point, why aren't you just stealing home? He's like, I mean, 65 stolen bases. Why aren't you stealing home then?
It really might as well. I mean, it might, like, whatever, I'll just do it myself. God, you guys can't even get a base hit around here.
Right? Like, and that's it. And, like, he had 5 home runs. So 47 of those runs were his own. 47 of those runs were his home runs.
Oh, man. That's like a Snapple fact that if you're like the manager on that team, you do not want. You're like, nah, right. I don't like that one.
Oh, man. It's, I mean, the A's are just, I mean, we talk about laughing stocks of baseball, but they have become the laughing stock of baseball.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it seemed like for like a decade or more, the Oakland A's would like sign veterans. And, like, for some reason, they always were in the playoff hunt, like, every yeah. year. And then now it's just like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to the point you got, you know, people making custom content in the upper deck, you know? Like,
yeah. No kidding.
Like, is there a game going on? I didn't know. All because you have a guy stealing, like, 70 bases and no one will knock him in, you know? Like,
right. Oh, man. So baseballperspectives.com, who we use all our stats for and know have a partnership with, but we should. We have to reach out to them and find out how we can get that done at the end of the season. They haven't won at least 64 games.
I mean, I did with all the young kids on that team, I mean, I could see it, like, or I could see it going horribly wrong.
Oh, man. I honestly don't see them winning 64 games. Oh, which is sad. I really feel, you know, I know we're laughing and joking around about them, but they're fans.
Yeah, they deserve a lot better than
the city of Oakland deserves better.
Like, you go from like the years of like McGuire and, you know, Canseco, and then the big three of Mulder and Zito and all them to just, hey, we signed some guy that was slinging hot dogs in section 330. He had a nice arm. Okay, neat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, and here's the thing, is they won 50 games last year.
God, it was 50, wasn't it? Oh.
Yeah. There's no way they win 14 more games this year.
I mean, I guess I could say weird things have happened, but at the same time, I don't know if anything that weird has happened.
They scored 584 runs as a team last year.
It probably would have been over 600 had they knocked in
Urias.
Like, the dudes just stand there on second and third, and like, oh, that ends the inning. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, how do you think he felt? Oh, yeah, I'm in scoring position again. And he's like, no, we're not scoring it. And he's just standing at second base.
He got called out, looking at a fastball down the middle. I wasn't sure. About what?
Oh, man. Again, Brett Flowers at work said one day, he goes, I'm 41 years old. I could probably go get a starting job on the Oakland A's as their first baseman.
Right. That'd be awesome. They used to get like a phone call, like, hey, you want to play first?
Yeah, no kidding.
They called me up, I'd be like, do you have the right number? And they'd be like, yeah, we do. I'm like, oh, okay.
They'd be like, we saw your little league play.
Yeah. We saw you play a baseball video game and you seem to have a good eye. Like, I don't know about that.
Oh man. So what's your here's the deal. I don't think they win more than 57 games.
Again, Oakland A's fans, I apologize. I would put my thoughts right around 53.
Yeah.
I mean, the AL West is like pretty stacked, you know, at this point. And
yeah.
Oh, I don't think Alex Wood is gonna get you to the predicted, you know, record.
No. I think Paul Blackburn gets him 15 wins. I think his pitching alone gets him 15 wins.
I would agree with that. I mean, he is solid. Like we said, I don't think he's on that team much longer.
Right.
Yeah. If he starts off like 7-0 in the first half or something, I could definitely see his name at the trade deadline going somewhere.
Yep, going to the Yankees.
Probably. Yeah.
No. All right, next up we have the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
The longest name in baseball.
Exactly. That's got to be a fun time.
Thank God they didn't put that one on those new jerseys they got in baseball.
Right?
I have to be writing it down the way to the pants or something.
Gosh, I don't understand why they changed the name to the Los Angeles Angels. I understand back in the day they're the Los Angeles Angels. But then they became California once they became major league, because the Angels used to be the minor league team for the Cubs.
Yeah.
So then I could see them changing their name to the California Angels, and then I could see them saying, "Oh, hey, we want a new stadium, so we got to name them Anaheim now," which is fine. It's like Florida going for the Marlins going from Florida to Miami because they wanted a new stadium.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So the Angels. Starting pitcher looks like Patrick Sandoval, Reed Detmers, Griffin Canning, Tyler Anderson, and Chase Sillith. They also have Zach Plesac as well.
Well, they did. That's right. They do have. Damn, I forget. Man, there's a lot of offseason moves that I'm still like, how do they miss that?
Yeah. No, I mean, because they all flew underneath the radar because we were all watching what Juan Soto was going to do and what Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. And then their closer is Andrew Wants. No, I take that back. It's Carlo Estevez.
Ooh, he throws gas, though. I'm pretty sure Estevez, right?
He does.
So I remember I try not to base real life baseball on the video game baseball, but I remember I do enjoy his cards in the game.
Yes. Like, yeah, that dude throws gas. So here's my thoughts on their starting pitching. Sandoval's good. Okay. He is very up and down, but he's good. Reed Detmers is through a no-hitter last year. Perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
He has the stuff. He just doesn't put it together back-to-back starts because I think after he threw that no-hitter, he got shelled for like 7 runs or something like that the next start.
I believe that is correct, yeah.
Yeah. Griffin Canning, good young arm. Tyler Anderson, he's a vet, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's like one of those like Alex Wood guys that has been like played for a lot of teams, it feels like, and he'll do like, I wouldn't say like Cy Young, but he'll give you the innings and, you know, a few wins right. And stuff. But
and then Chase Sillith, a young arm again as well. And then they got Zach Plesac, who actually did pretty well with the Guardians last year. So I don't hate their starting pitching staff. It's definitely an upgrade over the A's starting pitching staff, minus Blackburn.
Yeah.
I mean, because if there's any pitcher out of the two teams I'm taking, it's going to be Blackburn all day. I think the Angels are basically in rebuild mode, but don't want to admit they're in rebuild mode.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that really doesn't work out too well, right?
No. No. I mean, and, you know, the fans are smart enough to, like, know as well. I mean, they're like, that's your team. You're going to be watching it going, man, are we just, like, in a rebuild mode, but, like, hush-hush about it? Because it's okay, you know, like, I feel like, I don't know. Me personally, I've always thought that the Angels were, like, when they had Ohtani especially, I always felt the Angels were, like, one more, not, like, top-tier starting pitcher, but, like, a decent starting pitcher away from like really having some great runs, playoffs and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't even really know what I was basing that on, but that's the thought I always had of like, if they could just sign like a free agent starting pitcher, like when the rumor about Blake Snell going there, I'm like, okay, that'd actually be interesting, you know?
Right.
But
like, and that was one of the things with the Angels of the last 2 years, because I've actually had them in the playoffs the last 2 years. But last year's team, I basically said, if this team stays healthy, they can make the playoffs. And then you had Syndergaard get hurt, Trout get hurt, Rendon, who's never been, since he signed the huge deal, has yet to play more than 60 games a season, I think. You had Ohtani get hurt. Like, they're just injury prone. It's like they have the worst luck out of all the ALS teams. They have the worst luck.
I would agree. I mean, you know, the injuries, like every year, it's always like one of the big guys on that team, it seems like. If not one, then a couple. And it's like, man, you know, it really feels like the baseball gods like do not want them to win.
Right. No kidding. And now they got Ron Washington as their manager.
That is true. Ron's a fun coach, I think. I think he might. I don't know. I feel like Ron will do good there.
I feel like he'll do good there as well. But, you know, Ron likes to relapse every now and then.
This is true.
So I mean, if you can keep the candy out of the nose, Ron Washington will be a good guy. I like Ron Washington a lot. I thought he was a good player in the 80s. I mean, I remember him with the Texas Rangers. That's only because I had it's the only baseball card I remember of him. But he's always looked old to me, though. He's always looked like he's been Grandpa Ron Washington his entire life.
There, you know, it's funny. Just like I thought that about him and like a few other people too. Like, man, they just looked like they're like in their 60s since they were 18, you know?
Right.
Like Nick Nolte has that same look. Like,
yep.
Dude. You're like 25 and you look 70. How?
Yeah, I was just watching Blue Chips the other night, and I'm just like, what? Like, he still looks this... like, was he 75 in this movie? Like, what's...
He might have been. Looks like some sort of leather or something.
Yeah. So, the Angels' starting lineup is they got Logan Ohop at catcher. They got Nolan Schnell. I don't know how to pronounce that name. I just killed it. Luis Ref, Jesus. This is when the words, the name of players actually like start to get really bad for me. Renafio, Anthony Rendon. They still have trying to play third base. They got Zach Neto at short, Taylor Ward out in left, Trout in center. And then you got Aaron Hicks out in right field, Joe Adell out and right as well, and you got Brandon Drury as your DH. I mean,
man, I really hope Adell can have like one of those, like his season, you know, like a breakout season. Because I remember how hyped up he was, and it just doesn't feel like it's been there yet. And I'm like, I really hope he can have a good career. You know, like it's rough to see someone that gets like touted as like an amazing player and then just kind of not live up to it, especially with like the way like the media will blast him, the fans will go after it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's not easy to hit a baseball.
Right? No kidding. I think Ward, and again, Ward was one of those guys that got injured last year. Like Taylor Ward's actually a pretty good ball player.
He is. Yeah.
He's not a major league starting left fielder for no reason, trust me, but still, I think he's not as looked at as some of the other outfielders.
I would agree.
But he definitely goes on streaks. So, I mean, this lineup doesn't, like, say wow to me. Baseball Prospectus does have their wins above replacement projection for the hitters at 14.4. But I'm guessing they probably give him Mike Trout, like, 7 of those.
I mean, if Trout is healthy all year, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And here's the question I'm going to pose. Is Mike Trout ever going to get removed from the Yankees, or are we just going to watch a superstar like every other Cubs superstar before 2016 just die on the vine?
You know, and I'm sure Angels fans will hate me, and this is coming from a Mariners fan who loves watching Mike Trout play. I really hope that Mike Trout goes somewhere else. I just want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs, and I really don't feel like Artie Moreno has any sort of desire for that, is what I would guess at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I'll say this much too, as a Mariners fan, when they were saying that Moreno was going to sell the team, I was like, thank God, you know, like Angels fans I knew were rejoicing in the streets. You know?
And but, then he pulled him back in.
Like, you thought, you know, but I say that with all the love in the world that I hope that Mike Trout does request a trade. I didn't even talk today. Request a trade. And I hope people don't hate him for it, but, and if he does, I don't blame him. I mean, I would get it, you know, but it would be nice to see him finish his career with the same team, but oh, I think you'd have to get rid of ownership for that. But
yeah, that's and very true.
I also am scared. Is like, I'm looking at Mike Trout's injuries. I'm like, is he just better to just be a DH at this point? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe save his body a little bit, because I'm really going to be bummed out if, like, there's a lot of offensive stats for a career we don't get from Trout because of injuries, you know? Like,
yeah. So here's the Angels minus the COVID shortened year. Since 2018, they've won 80 games one time. When, what year was that, you ask? Was 2018.
Good Lord.
They went 80 and 82 in 2018. So since 2018, they have averaged right around 75 wins a season, or actually 74 wins a season, because they're the last 2 years they've gone 73 wins in a row. And they did have one season where they went 70, they did win 77 wins, 77 games. But the last 2 years they've won 73 games both years. I think that's hard to replicate.
Well, it also, like, blows my mind to think about them having, you know, Trout and Ohtani for all those years, you know, and, like,
yeah,
like, that one boggles my mind. I mean, you have two guys who are probably going to end up in the Hall one day, and, oh, it just, mm-hmm. it's hard for me to wrap my head around, like, oh.
Yeah. Yes. And I think, and here's the deal, is like, all the stat heads, you say that they're both going to end up in the Hall of Fame, which I think is right. But the problem is like, it's not going to be so much when they do go in the Hall of Fame, it's not going to be so much of an issue, because I feel like all the guys that are looking at just batting average, home runs, RBIs as your three components for a hitter to get in the Hall of Fame will no longer be around to do that.
True.
They will not have the vote. They will not be able to vote for it. And so I think with having more analytics in baseball, that's how Trout gets in. And there's a lot of guys that spoof at the analytics, like, I don't know, guys on Twitter that are former baseball players, and they're just like, I don't like analytics. It doesn't help the game. And I'm like, bro, that's only because you batted 300 twice in your entire 11-year career. Okay.
I mean, for me, I like kind of like a mix of both. You know, I like the stats, and then I also like, you know, kind of like a mix of the old school way of thinking with it too. Not like a whole lot, because I did like analytics are definitely good. If you have like a right-handed hitter who does well against right-handed pitching, you want to have that stat so you can be like, oh, we got to put them in, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Baseball prospectus have the Angels winning. Guess what? 73 games. Actually, they have them projected going 73.5 and 88.5. So it's one of those things where, like, do you round up or do you round down? It's a five. I don't know what you do.
They're going to end up in a tie game that goes for 29 innings, and they're like, nah, call it a draw. We're good. We're going home.
No kidding. So, I mean, I'm going to go on the limb here and say they win 73 games this year.
You know, I would agree. 73 sounds like a good number. I mean, now, could be wrong. I mean, Trout's healthy all year. They get like good starts out of the rotation. The bullpen does good. I mean,
yeah.
You know, but 73 sounds like a good number to me, I think.
Well, it sounded good the last 2 years, so why not try it for a third? That's how I'm looking at it. Like,
consistency is always good.
I'm looking at the consistency here. They've been the most consistent 73 win team in all of baseball.
That's a pretty good, you know. I mean, not a great stat probably if you're an Angels fan, but you know, if you're an owner, you're like, see, look, we're consistent. Like,
yeah, yeah. No kidding. Well, I mean, at least you're not like the A's and went from 86 wins in 2021 to 50 wins in 2023.
Yeah, someone pulled the E-brake at 65 miles per hour on that one.
Oh, man.
Like, whoops.
All right, one more note on the A's because the stat is mind-blowing as me well. Their run differential was minus 339.
Oh.
For that Oakland Athletics.
Oh, boy.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's get out of the bottom of the division. Let's get to like some guys
you,
actually.
Bless you, Oakland fans. Bless you.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Let's get to like the world here. Let's go. Oh man. Who do I want to pick here to talk about? Let's go Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go Houston Astros because it's one of those things. Do we talk about the defending World Series champs? Or do we talk about the most hated team in baseball? Which one are we going to talk about? I want to go the most hated team in baseball because I have like half of them on my fantasy teams. Because I'm like, hey, if I don't like them, might as well join them, right?
True.
So they're starting. Their ace of the staff is going to be Frander Valdez, according to BaseballProspectus.com. They got Justin Verlander, Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, JP France, Jose Urquidy. So France, Urquidy, and McKellars are all hurt. And I know this because I have all three of them on my fantasy teams. Then you look at their closer. It's Hader. They went out and signed Hader, who by August is usually useless anyways.
I mean, that's true. Respectfully, but yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, they do have Ryan Pressly and Brian Abreu back there. I mean, Rafael Montero, like, they got dudes that throw gas besides Hader. So once Hader does start and have the starts, you know, starts becoming useless after August, like, yeah, they actually have guys back there. I also think, like, once this team gets healthy with France, Urquidy, McCullers, well, they say JP France should be ready by opening day, but he's not really going to have a start until like the second or third week of the season because of how the games line up the first couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be your fifth starter, but you could really throw Urquidy, McKellars in that fifth spot as well. McKellars, I think, isn't coming back until June, but still, like, he's a good arm, you know.
He is.
That's the scary part of this about this Astros team is just their pitching.
Yeah. Yeah. The Astros are pretty legit when it comes to pitching. Then they have who's the young kid, Brown, I think, that like models his career after Verlander.
Yeah. Like Hunter Brown. Blind.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, that guy. Whew. I mean, I feel like after watching him pitch, you know, if Verlander like hangs it up after this season, is like, yeah, I'm done. They're not going to really be missing him for the next 5 or 6 years since you have Hunter Brown that's going to, I would think, fill in quite nicely.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah, it's scary to think about when their rotation, bullpen, and all that's all healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a nasty team to deal with. And how is Verlander still pitching at, what, like 50? I mean, I know he's not 50, but he's like our age. He's got to be 39, 40 years old, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's tipped 40. I almost want to say like 41.
Man, I wish I could be out there playing baseball at 41. Said, you know,
right? Throwing 97 still, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he has 41 years of young, and he just turned 41 actually on February 20th.
Oh damn.
So yeah. Jeez, 13-8 last year with a 3.22 ERA and 144 Ks. It's ridiculous.
I mean, the stats for him in his late 30s and, you know, 40, it's pretty nutty. I mean,
yeah, like, holy crap. I mean, unbelievable. That's all I really got to say is, like, this guy is just, Verlander is just one of those guys that just won't quit. I mean, and that's a good thing. Like since he went to the Astros, in 2018, he had a 2.52 ERA, a 2.58 ERA, a 3.0 ERA, a 1.75 ERA. Like,
God, that's nutty.
Wow.
Huh.
I mean, because his lowest ERA with the Tigers was 2.4, and that was in 11.
Oh man, he's the start with the fountain of youth, I guess. Because
I mean, when you're married to Kate Upton, that happens, right?
I would think so. Yeah,
she always makes him feel young.
Forever young.
Exactly. Oh man. All right. So at catcher, they got Yennier Diaz and Victor Caratini, who's also going to be a DH most likely. With Yordan Alvarez. Obviously, he's going to be your everyday DH, but he also can play out in left field. Jeez, just think about that. They got Abreu at first. They got Altuve at short, of course. They got Bregman at third. Jeremy Pena. I mean, I feel like Chase McCormick, Kyle Tucker, out in center field. They got Jake Myers. I mean, this is just one of those things where if you really want to get frosty on a day, your starting lineup could be Yonier Diaz behind the plate, Abreu, Altuve, Bregman, Pena, Alvarez out in left, Kyle Tucker in center, McCormick in center, Tucker in right, and then you have Caratini as your DH.
That makes my stomach hurtle.
This is it. And pitching for the Astros is Justin Verlander.
Like, whatever, like, Oakland A's come to town, they're like, can we just say we forfeit?
Yeah, we don't even want to play the games. Can we just skip the next 3 days? We'll go check out NASA for a bit.
Like, somehow Verlander's going to end up with 30 strikeouts in that game, and no one's going to understand why.
Right? Justin Verlander is going to be pitching these guys like I swing on, like I play MLB The Show, just swinging at everything and just getting struck out 27 times. Oh, man.
Verlander's going to send him a message after the game. Get good.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, oh, man. Like, that's scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, I know everyone wants to talk about, like, the Rangers lineup, but, I mean, that Astros lineup is... Oh.
Right? Like, up and down, all nine guys are just smoking the ball. And like I said, when your weak link is Jake Myers, like, that's a pretty good weak link to have.
Yeah, if, like, that's the, like, weakest bat you got, like, it must be nice.
Yeah, no kidding. Can I just become I should have applied for the Astros manager, for crying out loud. All I gotta do is write the lineup every day and then watch him go to work. Like,
you could throw, like, the bat boy in there one day. He probably still hits like 225.
I no kidding. I could have been like, all right, here's the deal. All right, starting pitchers, I need you to get to the sixth, because in the sixth we're gonna throw out or in the seventh, we're gonna bring out Brian DeBrey for an inning. We're gonna have Priestley pitch the eighth, and then in the ninth we got Hader. There you go. That's a 101 team right there.
Yeah. that Astros team, I feel, could almost break the 116 win season, you know? Like,
yeah.
If everything's firing, not even at 100%, 85% maybe, they could probably, you know, win over 100.
Right. I mean, but look at last year, like how they weren't going to make the playoffs, right? They weren't making the playoffs. They needed the last 2 weeks, right? They needed to go on a run in the last 2 weeks to make the playoffs, and then they end up winning the division, and they knocked the Mariners out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
that
I feel
was
like
a
the,
rough one.
I feel like the Mariners knocked themselves out, though.
You're not wrong there. Like,
I really feel like the Mariners knocked themselves out of that, because they, because all they had to do was win 4 out of 6, which I think all they had to do is win 3 out of 6, right? All they had to do is win 3 games against the Rangers and the Rangers and the Astros, and they would have made the playoffs.
That's about as Mariners baseball as it gets. I mean,
oh man. So before we get into the Mariners, we're gonna get there. I jumped ahead a little bit, but we're gonna get to the Mariners here. So the Astros warp for pitchers is projected at 15 wins, and their hitters are at 25 and a half.
Yeah.
I just can't with this team. Oh my god. Like I just holy crap. So prospectus has them going 90-97 games.
Yeah. I would say that's a pretty solid estimate, I would say.
That's a full season of Verlander. Okay. Even with a 3.38 ERA for the full season, he's going to keep you in games, right? Oh, he's going to give you innings. And I feel like with that, 90, I feel like 105 wins is an out of the era for these guys.
No, you know, you'd be accurate there, I think. And even if Verlander had an ERA of 4.50 this season, he'd probably still win 15 games just by staying in it and keeping him in it and that offense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just nutty to think about. Oh.
Yeah. Did you say 97 wins?
Yeah, I did see 97 wins, but I also I like your 105 wins too. I would see them somewhere between 97 and 105 for sure. I mean, and that's just, you could probably lose a player for 2 months with an injury. He'd probably still cover that.
Yeah. Again, you lose one guy, you got Jake Myers as your 10th guy. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. All right. Next up, Texas, the defending World Series champions, the Texas Rangers.
Oh, good old Texas.
Yep, the surprise. I don't know. Were they really a surprise team last year?
I don't know. One of my buddies is a Rangers fan. I always give him crap because he gives me crap about being a Mariners fan. I'm like, I'm sorry that we couldn't afford to buy the division. But, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not even really surprised that they won the series, to be honest. I mean, that, again, another a lineup that has, like, a very nice mix of veterans and young players that are very talented. And they made it when they, you know, got the DeGrom and Verlander, and both of those guys were injured, you know?
DeGrom and Scherzer.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I understood. I understood what you meant, but, you know, the viewers might be like, what? Or the listeners might be like, excuse me, what?
It's okay. I haven't had my second cup of coffee. We're getting there, though.
We're still in awe of Verlander pitching at 41. Okay.
The Rangers right, had Nolan Ryan there in their rotation this year, and
yeah, at 69 years young,
Throwing 92. Oh, he probably throws as hard as Jamie Moyer does at his age now, I bet.
Oh, I bet he does. Did you see Roger Clemens get rolled out there for the Savannah Bananas?
I did. I thought it was right-handed David Wells at first.
No kidding. That's why I said he got rolled out there.
I'm like, now I can officially say I have the Roger Clemens body type.
Right?
Good times for me.
What's your type? Roger Clemens. That's my body type.
My body type is cholesterol.
So we got Nathan Eovaldi as their ace, John Gray of Chad Kane's MLB The Show fame, Andrew Heaney, Dane Dunning, Cody Bradford. But you have Scherzer coming back midway through the season, DeGrom coming back midway through the season, And you got Jack Leiter down in the minor leagues. So, and then your closer is Jose Leclerc, who throws heat. You got Josh Sports and Brock Burke as your setup guys. But you still have David Robertson and Kirby Yates as well.
Kirby Yates.
Oh, man.
You know, and I've had a theory with the Rangers. And even before when DeGrom was with the Mets, I've said it with his injuries. And it's not to be, like, rude to the guy, but, like, I think Texas might need to look at moving him to the bullpen. You know? Like, yes. You could have DeGrom be your closer, come out there, throw, like, a few games, maybe keep his arm healthy. And, like, I always feel bad. You could tell, like, DeGrom just wants to play, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm, like, looking at his age and his arm problems, I'm like, the bullpen might be the best solution, you know?
Right? I think that same way, because, like, you look at Kerry Wood with the Cubs. He was a starting pitcher with the Cubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to, I don't know where he went after that, but then he goes to the Yankees and he becomes a closer, or not a closer, but a reliever guy, helps out his arms for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And then he comes back to the Cubs as a closer. And then you look at what he did. So I could definitely see that.
I think it makes sense almost. I mean, like.
Yes. I believe that is the case. I mean, that DeGrom needs to go to the pen.
Will he be like John Smoltz out of the bullpen? I don't know, but like.
But I mean.
It might keep him in the game of baseball longer, you know?
Right. And that's all you're trying to do at this point is like extend the longevity of your players, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because DeGrom, well, first of all, he's not even on the roster, so I can't even. He's not on ESPN's roster list for some reason, but what Scherzer is, what the deuce? That's crazy. That's odd to me that they have Scherzer on here, who's 39, but they don't have DeGrom on the roster list. Okay. All right, ESPN. I see what you're doing.
Tomfoolery, I tell you.
No kidding. They do have Michael Lorenzen too. I mean, he threw a no-hitter last year. Guy's got some pretty good stuff. So, True. But yeah, if you get DeGrom to the pen, like I think it's over. I think DeGrom extends his career. I think he is then able to show up for one or two innings, throw a bunch of heat, and be fine.
Yeah, I mean, and realistically, like if he was like, if they were like, oh, we'll just put you at closer and see how that goes. I mean, theoretically, you'd only throw like a few innings a week. You know, I mean, yeah.
Yep, very true.
Or he'd just be the gnarliest setup guy you could ever have. You know,
yeah, like that's the thing. You could use him in so different, many different ways. So let's look at the bats for the Rangers, because as we said, this lineup is just as filthy. You got Jonah Heim, you got Nate Lowe, Marcus Semien, Josh Jung, Corey Seager, Evan Carter, you got Leody Tavares, Adolis Garcia, and then your DH is a handful of guys, right?
Yeah, you got be anyone.
You got Langford, Duran, Fusco. I mean, you could throw Sam Huff there, Andrew Knizer. You could throw Josh Smith. Like, anybody that's on the bench that day, you could be like, yeah, you're the DH today.
And they could theoretically knock in four runs and win it back if they wanted to.
Yeah, because this team has a lot of pop to it. Evan Carter coming up last year and surprising everybody that he did as a young guy just added to it, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, and they do have a great mix. I mean, Carter's the youngest guy at 21 on the team. And he's you're going to get a full season of him.
He's only 21?
Yeah, he's only 21. Oh. Garcia's 31.
I feel a little bit better about that one, you know.
And Tavares is 25.
Man. Yeah, that. Again, another team in Texas with like the perfect mix of old and young. You know?
Right.
There's not really a weak point.
No, there's really not. I mean, because they all can rake. And then they got Jose Barrero of Angels fame on that team now. Ezekiel Duran. Like, yeah, they got some nice guys. But their hitters are at a 21.7 warp. So, and again, that's got to probably be mostly Seager. He's probably gives you about 8. Garcia probably gives you about another 7. So that's 15 right there. So they're not really giving much look at the rest of them, which I think is a little underrating. I really think that the Rangers are overlooked still this year, even as World Series champions, because I think they're just like, oh, well, they're a team that just got hot. Well, you know what? The Diamondbacks got hot, and look at what they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Diamondbacks were fun. I mean, same kind of thing, though. Veterans, young guys, all like going together for the one goal of playoffs. And I mean, and I hate saying it because obviously the Rangers are a rival for me, but I mean, I don't know how anyone could sleep on them and to be like, it was a fluke. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
right? I was trying to see who, I don't understand how that happens at either of how you're just going to be like, yeah, we're sleeping on the Rangers. Like, how are you going to sleep on the World Series champions? Like,
and to top it off, like, they didn't even have the DeGrom most of the year.
Right. Or Scherzer.
Yeah, like, so I'm like,
I mean, when they did have Scherzer, he wasn't, like, lights out, you know what I mean? But yeah, he's a good clubhouse guy.
Yeah. Watching him in the dugout gets me pumped up, and I'm like, dude, I'm not even playing.
Uh-huh, exactly. And that's what I think that's what we talked about on the AL Central podcast is clubhouse guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you need clubhouse guys on your team in order to help the team out. I think Jason Hayward's again. I know we're doing AL West, boys and girls. I get that, but as a Cubs fan, it always wraps around 2016 to me. Okay, because it's the first time ever I've seen a World Championship team with my baseball team. All right, so Jason Hayward.
I don't know what that's like.
I know it's rough. I know. Even 116 win team couldn't get it done with Lou Piniella as the head coach, as the manager.
That season haunts my dreams.
Even as a baseball fan, it haunts my dreams as well. But Jason Hayward was just a glue guy. That's what he was. He was just a guy, like, you paid him $178 million to come in and do two things: play defense and be your glue guy. And that's what he was. Mm-hmm. Because you weren't gonna get that out of John Lester. You weren't gonna get it out of John Lackey. Like, those guys aren't they're two more chicken and beer guys and less clubhouse guys.
I mean, I'm down with chicken and beer too. I mean,
me too. I mean, the Red Sox just weren't, apparently.
That story was pretty great, how people got all like offended about them doing that. I'm like, what? They're playing a game. Like, who cares if they're having chicken and beer? Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, I don't come to your job and tell you how to do stuff.
Right? Oh, man. So, all right. So, I got baseball perspectives got the Rangers winning 86 games, which is 4 less than what they won last year. They were a 91 team last year.
Oof. For me, I'm going 95. I think Houston and them are going to be like neck and neck for a good part of the year.
I could definitely see that. However, I feel, I already said this on the Central podcast, they get swept by the Cubs this weekend.
I can see that.
The Cubs are going to sweep them this weekend. Justin Steele, your 2024 NL Cy Young Award winner, is going to be Eovaldi.
He's as cold as steel.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and here's another thing. They're first. So when they start play in April, they have 4 games against Houston at home. Then they play Oakland at home. And then they're at Houston. So from April 5th through April 14th, they don't leave the state of Texas.
A long time in Texas.
Yeah. And then they go to Detroit, Atlanta, Then they go to then they have Seattle, Cincinnati, Washington all come home. So then again, April 23rd through May 2nd, they're at home that entire stretch as well. Like, yeah. So, I mean, hey, here's the deal. And we talked about this on the AL East, is that with this new format of having of everybody plays everybody, it's easy to see teams get 90 wins because the rest of the league, if you're just that much better than the rest of the league, then that's just the case. Like, you're going to see, after they play the Cubs, they go to Tampa Bay. They win 2 out of 3 there because they're going to face Peapot, Eflin, and Savali. Like, there's 2 out of 3 wins right there. Because you might not beat Eflin, but you're going to definitely beat Peapot and Savali, right?
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah. Then you got Houston for 4, which they don't have that far out yet. Then you face Oakland, so that's 3 wins. So even if you get swept by the Cubs, you take 2 out of 3 from Tampa Bay, you're still looking at you're 2-4 between for your first 6 games. Houston comes to town, you're obviously going to play them a little harder than everybody else. So just say you split it, you're now so you're, what did I say, 2-4. So you split that, now you're 4-6, right? Then you have Oakland for 3 games. Well, that's now you're above 500. You go to Houston, you probably take 2 out of 3 from Houston. Then you go to Detroit where you play 4 games. And now you're starting to get a little hot there. And then you go to Atlanta. You might lose, depending on who's pitching for Atlanta, you might lose 2 out of 3. Then you have Seattle come to town. You know, we'll get to Seattle here in a second. But, like, the first half of the season, they're playing Oakland at KC. They're playing, after you get past Houston, Atlanta, you got Cincinnati. And then, because Seattle could go either way. It all depends on who shows up for Seattle. In my opinion, but you're playing Cincinnati, Washington, Kansas City, Oakland again, Colorado, Cleveland, the Angels. Like, your toughest team is the Astros. You're going to go up against the division and arguably the Braves.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I was having a very similar thought while I was kind of looking a little bit at the schedule. I'm like, you know, and like you said, with everyone playing every division, every division has like that one team that's like, eh, you know, I'm like, that could be an easy 2 wins, 3 wins, you know, and I'm thinking like, as for the Mariners, I'm like, this could be kind of good to get the win-loss record in a better place, you know?
Right. Like,
but I have seen Seattle just totally take a dive against bad teams too. So, I mean,
yeah. Now, and that's the thing is if the Rangers are going to win this division, they definitely need to do it in the first half. Like, and I don't say that lightly, like, they definitely have to win it in the first half, because come September, they're playing the Yankees, they're playing the Diamondbacks, they're playing the Mariners, the Blue Jays. They have the Mariners 7 times in September, and they end it with the Angels. So, like, their last 6 games of the season against Oakland and the Angels. So they could go 6-0 and then there, but they really need to, because they're done playing Houston in August. August 5th, 6th, and 7th is the last series against Houston that they have.
Ooh. Huh.
So the Rangers have a very favorable schedule. It just, like, one of those things where it's like, yeah, I understand they're playing everybody, but it's pretty even, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and if, you know, Rangers have an amazing start or whatever, I mean, that'll be, well, it's the schedule.
Right. Yeah. If they, like, get out to a hot start, like, that's even.
No one ever gets the credit of just being like good and having a good start. It's always, well, what's their schedule? Like,
right.
Like, yeah. But, like, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Like,
exactly. That's, you know, that's my favorite saying right there.
You just have Oakland go on like a 12-game win streak and have MLB fans everywhere just confused. Like, how?
Right. All right, let's move on to the team of the podcast. Your team, my favorite AL team growing up, because of one guy, actually two guys. I really like Jay Buhner and that bald head and goatee. And maybe that's why I like Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, so much as well, because he reminded me of Jay Buhner.
Buhner buzz cut night was always a legendary thing here in the Northwest.
Yes. So your team, the Seattle Mariners, the team that, as we said, lost themselves out of the playoffs last year.
Coming on the heels of that amazing Cal walk-off home run against the Oakland A's, oddly enough, to put us into the playoffs. Yeah, what a 180 that was.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, what's your I want to hear your entire take. This is your time to shine, my man. This is the, we come to the podcast where you get to talk about your team without me saying a thing.
Oh boy. Well, here we go. Here goes nothing. I always tell people, like, what's it like being a Mariners fan? And I'm like, you know, it's honestly like having a really good day or drinking before noon. It really just depends, you know, because you don't really know. And every Mariners season, it seems like start out hot, middle of the season, we're just kind of like, oh, we don't know how to play baseball. And then we turn it on in the second half. And then either, you know, 2 years prior, get into the playoffs, or last year, we're watching from home. But I don't know. There was moves the Mariners made that I liked this year and moves that I didn't. I understand the analytics of Suarez's strikeouts, but I also felt, like we talked about clubhouse guys, I felt he was a clubhouse guy because he's always talking good vibes and all this stuff. And so trading him really bums me out a lot. But I do like getting Polanco. I think is nice. But they say, you know, I think they said that the Mariners have like the best rotation in baseball right now. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of see it. I mean, I think we have a lot of young starters. You know, Gilbert's just gnarly out there. And, you know, having Castillo helps. But I'll let you in on a secret about me. I'm not a fan of Scott Service.
Hey, he was the Cubs catcher. He's a Cubs legend, okay, buddy?
I know. I like him as a player. I don't think I like him as the manager, though.
But before that, here's my thing about Scott Service, though. Like, and he was he their manager last year, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's, and that's why I thought he was. Like, I just wanted to clear, just wanted to verify that. Because here's my thoughts is, you had to beat Houston to make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Houston guy. Now, I'm not saying that he let Houston in the playoffs.
He's like, hey, don't swing at anything, okay? Oh, okay, coach.
But, I mean, he knows he's already won more games than he had to, right? Because Jerry DePoto said what, 50, you had to be what, at the 52% mark?
54. I think Jerry should have
54, went. Huh? Well, yeah. guess what the exact win percentage of the Mariners were last year?
54.
54.3%.
Then Jerry's a dirty liar. Fun fact, I'm pretty sure that Jerry DePoto's professional baseball career win-loss record is pretty close to that, too.
So, I'm not saying Scott Service did anything, but I'm also throwing that out there that the guy was an Astro before he became a Cub.
Look, man, I'll put the tinfoil on my head. We can go to town with this theory. I like where this is going. Like, that would all make sense to me, honestly.
Exactly. Like, that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I thought DePoto was a player. Yeah, you want to know his Jerry DePoto win loss record was 27-24.
That's pretty close, I think, right? I don't know. I'm terrible at math, so
that's a 52% winning percentage.
Oh, hey, we're right. If he won a couple more games, we'd be right there. Honestly, I really wish Jerry would have just came out and tried to make it funny and then just said 69%. Like, okay. Like, I don't want to win 69%, but at least you went out there for the joke. I did it. Right. I can laugh about it.
Man, DePoto was a closer?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching a Mariners game where he came out of the bullpen for the Rockies, I believe.
Yep, he had 30 in 97 and 98. He had 35 saves combined that year. Those 2 years. He has 49 career saves.
I think Robbie Ray, once he got like traded or whatever, I feel like he said it best when he was like, I know the fans are upset, but he's like, but if you think about it, you could win 100 games 1 year and then lose 100 the next year, and that's how baseball is. And I'm like, okay, the 54% kind of makes sense now when
Yeah.
you, but like, man, here in the Northwest, man, oh, Mariners fans were irate.
I bet.
Like, no one wants to hear, like, yeah, we want to be just a shade over winning half our games every year.
Right.
Like, especially after getting to taste the postseason and having to relive that Robbie Ray home run that he gave up to Yordan. I,
Oh,
oh.
yeah. Well, again, you guys didn't have Robbie Ray after the first game last year either, right?
Yeah.
So you basically won 88 games without having your ace.
But on the plus side, we got to see some young pitchers like Bryce Miller. Like, that dude's
Yes.
funny as hell. They're like, how do you get so much spin on your fastball? He's like, I don't know, I just throw it. I'm like, I like
Right.
this guy. He's like, he doesn't get the science of it. He's just, I go out there and throw it, and sometimes it moves funny. I'm like, cool. I like it.
So Brian Wu is starting the season on the 15-day IL, which I hate that it's called the IL now. I wish they just call it the DL again.
There's too many changes, man. I'm too old to try
Jeez.
to relearn
I know.
everything.
It's not a disabled list, it's the injured list.
All
I'm like,
right.
come on, he went on the DL. Like, no one's calling it the IL anymore. Like, let's be real here, folks. So, as you stated, you got Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, Miller, Wu. Wu's on a 15-day. Your guys' schedule I'm looking at here, is it really going to? You guys don't play. Well, I guess the first weekend you guys play back to whole baseball, Major League Baseball did you guys dirty. You guys have 7 games in the first week of the season. You guys are playing every single day.
Yep, we're going for that overtime. Yeah.
And then hold on, and then you get Thursday off. Just to travel to, so you can travel to Milwaukee, and then you play 7 consecutive days again and get a Thursday off to travel back home to play the Cubs. And then you get Thursday off again, place. And then, oh, you get that Thursday off on April 18th, and then you guys don't get a day off again until May 2nd.
I am guaranteeing the first month of the season we do not get out of it without someone going on the whatever list for being hurt.
Yeah,
I would bet money on it.
I mean, out the gate, you play the three worst team. I mean, you play Boston, Cleveland. Oh, I think I had them winning the Central. So, and then you play Milwaukee, but Boston, I had them finishing last in the AL East. Milwaukee had them finishing last and or second to last in the NL Central. But you play Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago, Cincinnati. Then you play Colorado, which we haven't got to the NL West yet. Then you got Texas, Arizona, Atlanta, Houston. You guys don't get a break.
Yeah, the, when I looked at that a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, wow, I don't know what we did. We're just over here living our best life at 54%, and you know, MLB was like,
You guys don't get a
Lord.
break at all that first half. And then the sec and then the second half of the schedule doesn't get much better. I mean, you granted the last 3 games of the season against Oakland, but even then, you got to, like I said, you got to play Texas 7 times. You got to play New York. You got to play the Yankees in between that. So you're playing Texas, the Yankees, and Texas again, followed by Houston. Like, I don't know what you guys did to the schedule makers, but you
Yeah.
guys pissed somebody off.
I
And.
we did. I don't know how, I don't know why, but
Yeah, you guys don't get a break at all. I mean, because like I said, you got Colorado for 3 games, but then you're right back into it, right? Then you got to play Air, then you got to play Texas, Arizona, Atlanta, Houston, Minnesota, and then you get Oakland and KC, which KC I got could go either way. I got them finishing right around 500, and then you got Baltimore, New York, and then we get Washington for we get a 3-game break with Washington Nationals, and then oh, right back at it with Houston for 4 games, And then we got, oh, then we got the Angels. Oh, here's your break. You get the Angels, the A's, Kansas City, the White Sox all in a row.
If we crack into the wild card this year, it's going to just be completely based off probably luck and talent, you know?
Right. Because with this schedule, baseball is pretty much saying, oh, you want to come out and say you're a 54% win team? Yeah, we're going to make you – you guys were 54.3 last year. Guess what? We're going to put you right back at 50% this year, or 48%.
Manfred was not a fan of the honesty.
Apparently not. Jeez.
Yeah, good luck winning 54% of those. Losers.
Right? Man, like, and there's going to be there might be a lot of guys so again, you talk about Texas getting off to a hot start with their schedule, and then you look at the Mariners, and it's like, you put a really good team with a crappy schedule. Because, like, at least with everybody else, at least with the Rangers, they have breaks between their hard teams. You know, they get an easy week. They can rest some guys going into their big games. You guys can't.
No.
It's back to back to back. Like, you guys got to give everybody your best shot every single night.
I'm not saying that there's a script in MLB, but I'm saying.
Yeah. No kidding.
Clearly, we see who they want to have in the World Series.
Yeah. No kidding. Like, wow. So then, all right, so your bullpen is Santos, Brash, Munoz, and Spire. That's basically your big guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I like that. I like that bullpen. Again, you guys have a really good pitching staff. The problem is you guys are going to face a lot of really good offensive teams.
Yeah.
Early and often. It's going to be an early and often battle here.
The sad thing is that bullpen and you know, rotation's going to get probably throttled by playing these, like, solid offensive teams.
Right?
Like, oh. And then, I my biggest issue with Scott Service is I don't think he manages the arms real well.
Right. And as a catcher, you would think he'd be able to do better.
Yeah. And, like, when Matt Brash's arm here, you know, this season starting off and stuff, it was like, oh, and then I'm like, well, I think everyone in the Mariners – fan base was blaming Service for, like, yeah, well, we saw how he uses pitchers, and I'm like, yeah.
yeah. Well, you know, I think I've said the A's one too many times on this podcast, because just on the bottom side of my computer here, it said A's result. They brought up the A's logo on the my news feed that I have on the bottom of my desktop here.
You speak of the devil and they will show. Jeez.
It's like saying Beetlejuice three times for crying out loud. Which, that actually looks like a fun sequel.
It does. I saw that the little sneak peek trailer thing, and I was like, all right, I like it. Get started on the Roadhouse one. That,
I heard Roadhouse was good, though.
It's good if you go into it not expecting a reboot. Because there was so little to do with the original that I think that's why I was like, but overall, if you, like, think about it without it being like a reboot, it's a fun movie. Like, the action scenes look real cool, but.
So it's like White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go in thinking that that's a remake of White Men Can't Jump, which that can't be touched. The original White Men Can't Jump can't be touched. But if you go, and that's what I said when White Man Can't Jump came out, was I watched it and I'm like, hold up. They should have just named the movie different. Like, I understand it's the same plot, like, kind of.
Yeah.
White kid shows up, tries to play ball, and needs to hustle some dudes, gets a black kid in there to help him out, whatnot, right? Same plot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to name it the same movie, the same name of the movie, because everybody that's watched White Man Can't grew up with White Man Can't Jump and Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes would think, oh, this is a crappy remake, and it's not a remake at all. And I think that's the way you got to look at it. I think you're right about the Roadhouse situation. I've only seen the original Roadhouse maybe twice in my lifetime because I wasn't a huge Patrick Swayze guy.
Yeah.
I watched Dirty Dancing a lot, but as a kid. But that was more Jennifer Grey, less Patrick Swayze.
This is true. I respect that.
I mean, that was the whole reason why we would watch it. And then also we watched Batman a lot with Michael Keaton because there's a part in there where Jack Nicholas and nobody catches it. Like we had it, we were watching it on VHS and it's, and Jack Nicholas, who only has 79 lines in the entire movie, one of them turns and says to Michael Keaton, "Never rub another man's rhubarb."
That is the greatest line, I think. I remember as a kid, I was like, my mom would have like, would go to my like grandma's and my grandma made rhubarb pie, and I'd just be sitting there saying it, like, "Yeah, never rub another man's rhubarb." I didn't know that it was like, you know, in a dirty sense, you know. But I'm a kid, just I made strawberry rhubarb pie. Never rub another man's rhubarb, Grandma.
Right? Like, no kidding. Oh man. So yeah. Oh, off a little bit of a back onto baseball here. That was a nice little break from reality, though.
Yeah.
So Kyle Raley, I've always liked him as a catcher. Ty France, good base hitting first baseman, just consistent. Jorge Polanco, great pickup. He was good with the Twins. Luis Urias, I think that's a solid play. JP Crawford, I love JP Crawford. I am a JP Crawford homer, and he's not even on my favorite. Like, if JP Crawford was on the Cubs, I would legit be on JP Crawford's, you know what, all the time. His jock.
The jock.
I'm on his jock as a Mariner because I pick him up in every fantasy team. He's the guy I always want to play with on MLB The Show. Like, JP Crawford to me is just one of those dudes. I'm like, oh, the guy just hits.
Like, MLB released like their top shortstop list, and I got some heat for saying, like, you know, clearly you've never heard of JP Crawford.
Right.
And my point to that was that you got Mookie Betts, no disrespect to Mookie, but you have him as the second best. I'm like, the man has been an outfielder for like, what, 98% of his career? Like,
yep.
I don't think you'd have put him at number two before a full season.
Right. He came up as a second baseman, for crying out loud. I didn't even come up as a shortstop.
And I mean, even De La Cruz on there, I'm like, you get one season. And, you know, it had ups and downs. I don't know if he'd have put him in the top 10, but I'm like, no. Dude, JP Crawford is solid on defense, and he improved his offense considerably.
Dude, I was watching the Mariners game last year at the end of the season, and he came up in the 10th inning or 11th inning, I think it was, and he hit that bomb.
Oh,
I can't
remember
who it was against, but I jumped out of my seat. Because that's another thing is, like, with me working as often as I work, like, when I get home and I turn on MLB Network, it's always either A's or either Angels or Mariners that are on that I can watch.
Those nice 7 o'clock games here on the West Coast.
Yeah. 9 o'clock games here in Central Time. Right. So So I'm all about watching the Mariners and Angels because to me, like, those are the two teams I want. If I'm watching AL West games, those are the two teams I'm going to watch. Like, Rangers and Houston Astros are a central team. They're in the Central Time Zone. Like, they're 7 o'clock games, but to actually watch a West Coast game, those are the games I'm going for. I'm not turning on the Dodgers because I absolutely hate the Dodgers. I'm not turning on the Giants because I hate that ballpark. Yeah. Ever since Barry Bonds left, I absolutely hate that ballpark because no one can hit it into the fucking bay. Pardon my French.
now there's like no one out there in the boats anymore. They're like, no one hits them out here no more.
Yeah, that's because they came and hit him to the wall in right field because Barry Bonds was a special human being.
Mm-hmm.
So JB Crawford's one of those guys I've always just watched, like, and I'm a fanboy of his. Like, I would, like, if I could meet JP Crawford, I would probably faint. Just saying.
Oh, and you and me both, man.
And then they got Mitch Haniger back.
Yeah, Mitch has looked good in the spring so far.
Yeah. Julio Rodriguez, of course. And then out in right field, you got Luke Raley. Or you throwing out who you throwing out in right field? Canzone, Raley, Marlowe, Taylor Trammell, Mitch Garver. I mean, probably not Garver.
From what I had heard, and it kind of made sense that they were going to kind of platoon Mitch and Raley, however you say that, the dude they we got from the Rays. Yeah. But like, I could also see both of them being out there, and I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, because I still think they both provide upside defense. I mean, it's not like you're putting Kyle Schwarber out in left field with Haniger, right? Or
yeah.
Whoever else? Who else just converted to left field, and it was just like, are you kidding me? Are they like, yeah, it's like, so I mean, yeah, you're gonna give plus defense on both of those. So here's the deal with the Mariners. They're very solid. Pitching staff's above average. Hitters are right around above average to excellent. You know, and if you get a good flow of that offense, and we didn't even talk about Dylan Moore, the hot commodity that he is.
Yeah, you know. Mr. I play everywhere and
right. So we talked about the schedule with the Mariners, talked about their roster. Unfortunately, Baseball Prospectus has them winning 84 and a half, going 84 and a half and 77 and a half. So if they win 84 games, they're going to finish off with only a 51.8% winning percentage.
Damn it, DePoto.
Yep, DePoto's prediction is going to be wrong. So in order to hit that mark, they got to win 88 games again, which I can honestly, I see them doing that. At some point, even with their jacked up schedule, the Mariners get hot and the Mariners just go to town.
Oh, yeah. That's like I said, like if you're like new to being a Mariners fan, enjoy the roller coaster ride you're about to enjoy for a season. Just man,
like, right?
I will. It's like I feel lucky in that sense because I know there's some teams that just have like a history of losing, and there's teams that have a history of just winning. And as a Mariner fan, along with a few other teams, it's like you really don't know what you're getting, but like it's not boring.
Correct.
Like, we don't have the people with the bags over their head out in the stands, you know, like.
Yeah.
But, my lord, sometimes it gets to be a bit much.
They got Hancock listed as their fifth start.
That's interesting. I'm kind of excited to see what he does. I know his name came up a lot in the offseason with trade rumors as well as yeah. Wu. And I swear, I didn't even know that Wu has, like, four or five pitches. I swear when he would start, I'd only see him throw fastballs. I'm like, does he have off speed? I'm like, oh yeah, he's got a change and a curve. And I think a slider. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Wu's got some stuff. So Emerson Hancock, 24 years of age. Has three career appearances that lasted an average of four innings apiece. And that's only because his August 20th start only went two innings against the Astros. But his first start, he went five innings, got the win, or maybe got the win. It doesn't really say. No, because he went 0-0 last year. That's right.
He tried.
So... He went 0-0. He had a 4.5 ERA with a 1.33 WHIP in 12 innings pitched.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to be your fifth starter.
I feel like confident he didn't, you know, have a little bit better time this year. Like, I like to think anytime a rookie comes up, it's like, oh, it's just nerves, you know?
Yeah. Obviously, when you're facing San Diego, KC, and Houston.
Now, hopefully, you know, if he's going to be the fifth starter until, like, you know, Wu is good to go. Hopefully, we get him on those days against, like, no offense again, but, like, Oakland. You know, let him get the confidence up a bit, you know? Like, oh, look, man, I went five innings and struck out 12 today. I'm feeling pretty good. Like, yeah, there we go, you know?
Right?
Like, that's the hope. But
all right, so how many wins do you think your team gets?
My initial thought, and like I was thinking about it a lot the last probably like month since mm-hmm. kind of, you know, the off season's kind of come to an end with moves and stuff and signings, I think that the Mariners, I do have them right around 84 to 87 wins, somewhere in that. Now, I say that knowing that they could just come out of left field and surprise the hell out of me and win 93 somehow, but...
I think they get off to a nice start and win their first. I think they go in their first 10 games. I see them going 8-2.
I would see that. And that would be very typical Mariners fashion. Like, they like to start hot, taper off, and then get hot at the end, and then make it like a make the anxiety levels go up through all of us, you know, Mariners fans.
Right. I see them going 8-2 is what I see them going. Hey, you said you want to see Hancock face below average offensive teams. Well, his first start is against Cleveland at home. And his second start is at Milwaukee.
I feel like he comes out of that with like a 1-0 record and an ERA under 4.
I feel like you're saying, like, hey, if he's going to be my fifth starter until Wu comes back, at least give him some confidence and have him face against some low offensive teams. Cleveland's is one of those teams where it's got a nice lineup, but doesn't have a lot of pop.
No, and, you know, as long as your defense has got your back, I don't feel like you'll struggle too much, you know, if, like, so I imagine there's going to be a lot of ground outs, fly outs kind of stuff. And I mean, J-Ram, I think, is, and respectfully, I think J-Ram's the only one that scares me in that lineup.
Right. And that's what we talked about in the AL Central podcast, is Cleveland's got a nice lineup. There's just no pop there. And J-Ram's the only one that scares us. If they were to go out and add a bat, Pete Alonso, just saying, then it becomes a different beast altogether.
God, that would be something. J-Ram and Big Meat Pete in the lineup.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was really kind of pushing in my night dreams of baseball to have the Mariners go, well, we're going to sign Joey Votto. And I'd be like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I got, you know what? I'm going to go 88 wins. I'm going to go the Jerry DePoto formula here and get 88 wins, baby.
And if it's 88, I'm going to regret not putting like a $2 bet on that, you know?
I might just have to put a $2 bet on 88 wins for the Mariners and 73 wins for the Angels, because then they'd be back-to-back the same.
That'd be amazing, right? You make that bet, and then like you win like $8,000 off of it.
Turn it into a two-team parlay. Oh, man, that'd be money. I should see if I can make that happen now. Hey, that's the research for the afternoon.
Yeah, there you go, right?
All right, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming onto the show.
Not a problem. I appreciate you having me, man. I love talking baseball.
Yes.
And movies and stuff.
Oh yeah. This is a great time. Like, and I've always felt like that with you and I. That we work well together. We bounce well off each other. Like, you know, I think and I've always thought that, like, us streaming, like watching you stream, we have the same kind of energy. Like, yeah. So I am super happy to have you on that you came on.
Same kind of COD energy, you know, just all that. We're like Tango and Cash.
Exactly right. Correct. We are like Tango and Cash.
Next time I see in like a chat, I'll be like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, I don't know which one you want to be, but I'll be whatever.
You know, I'll go ahead and be Tango.
Okay. Next time I see, like, what's up, Tango? Like, hey, Cash.
Exactly. Right? I think that's right. So,
not a lot of people under 30 will probably get that reference.
Probably not, but Tango and Cash is a very underrated movie. So
it is.
I'm saying, I love it. I would watch that movie all the time as a kid. When I wasn't watching, A League of Their Own, I was watching Tango and Cash.
I watched a lot of Weird Science, but not because of like the humor in it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yes.
Honestly, oddly enough, after telling my wife that was my childhood crush was that lady in there, my wife's like, oh yeah, do you know that I share my birthday with her? I'm like, oh my God, it's a sign.
Wait, hold on. I feel, you know, I could probably go either way. You know, I think we could be interchangeable on Tango and Cash, because Tango wears three-piece Armani suits, drives a Cadillac.
True.
Cash wears tattered clothes, cowboy boots, and drives a Chevy Corvette.
This is true. Like, it's kind of like if, like, they, like, somehow had, like, a kid or had twins, and then it was, like, us, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So,
let's call ourselves Tang Cash.
Yeah, Tang Cash. There we go. I'm going deaf. I'll probably go Tango. Yep, I'll stick with Tango. You can be the cowboy cop.
All right, I'll wear the jeans.
All right, sounds good. All right, boys and girls, that's it. That's a wrap for the AL West. Again, appreciate Mr. Andy Random Hero coming on the podcast. It was fun having him. Next up is going to be the NL West for you. So hope you stick around and listen to that. As always, if you're not following me, please do so. Drop that follow button. Hit the subscribe button and also hit the noty. And by the way, by hitting the subscribe button doesn't mean you're getting a subscription, okay? You don't have to pay for anything. Sometimes it just says subscribe instead of follow, all right? Make sure to ring the bell to get that noty. And as always, take care of yourself and each other.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.